Hey, everybody. Hope everybody's had a good week. Looking forward to worshiping together this Sunday. We're still in the book of Proverbs. We're looking at chapter 4 this week. The title of today's lesson is The Choice. And the summary statement is, all people have a choice to make. Follow God or reject Him. We all know that there's many choices we make every day. Regardless of it's what shirt we're going to wear, what pants, what shoes. I've seen online, I googled how many choices or decisions do people make every day, and the one I found that pretty close to all of them said it was about 35,000 decisions a person makes each and every day. A big percentage of those is relating to food, as to what we're going to eat. I can attest to, I make too many decisions about food, and they're usually wrong decisions. They're not the healthiest things, which I need to fix. But lots of decisions, lots of choices we have to make. But the most important decision that a person can ever make in their life is choosing to follow and to believe in and to give their heart to Jesus. By far the greatest choice to make. Again, we're in a book of Proverbs. The theme of the book is wisdom. The writer of the book is King Solomon, the son of David, King David, who was the ultimate writer of this book is God. Solomon, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. The key verse in Proverbs is in chapter 1, verse 7, and I'll read that for us right quick, but I think it's very important. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here gives us the reason to make the appropriate choice, which is to follow God and believe in God and to be willing to allow Him to guide our lives and give us instruction. Just as we as parents hope that our children will follow our instructions and remember them when they are faced with tough choices in life. And you just pray that they get in God's Word as well as us adults need to stay in God's Word, because that's where we get the wisdom to be able to make the right choices in life. Again, we're in chapter 4. Our text is verses 11 through 27. The first 9 verses are dealing with where the father is Solomon, and it also reflects back to his father David in his first few verses. And he's talking to the son about desiring wisdom. And then verses 10 through 27 are the father is giving the reason why the son should desire wisdom. Because wisdom makes a difference in a person's life. And we're going to see this here in these verses. And he shows us this by contrasting good and evil. Again, with the summary statement being, all people have a choice to make. Follow God or reject Him. There's no neutrality. There's no middle ground. There's no other choice to make. You may hear some say, well, I'm be somewhere in the middle. If you're somewhere in the middle, you're rejecting Him. So you've made the choice to reject Him. You either wholeheartedly follow or you reject. The first section we're going to look at is verses 11 through 13, and it's titled The Path to Take. So Meredith, you'll read those 3 verses for us.
I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life.
Okay, so when we describe wisdom as seeing things God's way, that's when we can... that is so that we can do things His way. So when when we see wisdom as way we get it through the Holy Spirit, which indwells us, and also in reading God's Word, we get wisdom that way, and we understand God's will for us, and that way we'll know how to do things His way. So here Solomon is talking to his son that he has taught him the way of wisdom, and that he has led him in the right paths here in verse 11. So, in trusting in God to make us wise, we confidently rely on Him to put us on the right paths. And again, from Solomon's perspective, life isn't a battle or a quest, a quandary or a dilemma. Instead, life is a journey. And living well involves getting on the right path. And without God's wisdom to guide us, we run the risk of taking the wrong path, a crooked road that leads to destruction. Foolish people take that path, but wise believers seek God's guidance so they can choose the right path, the straight road that leads to fulfilling life. So when you think about a path, I know you like to go hiking sometimes, Mary. When you hear about a path, what does that make you think of?
Definitely the one most trodden is the one I think of.
Yeah, exactly. It's a well-defined track or path. If you look on the front of your quarterly, if y'all, some of you out there may not have it, the front of our quarterly shows a path, and you can tell it's very well traveled, and so it's easy to see where you're going. It's so that you don't mistakenly get off path and get lost. We like to watch a show here on Animal Planet, or I think it's Animal Planet, that Northwoods Law.
Northwoods Law.
Yeah, and it's about park rangers and things like that. And anyway, a few episodes ago, there was a lady that they were searching for who had been hiking her whole life, and she had just mistakenly got off path. And she was only just a few feet off the path, but was so turned around and so lost that she starved to death because she got so lost and so confused that she just pitched her tent up and lay there and died. So trusting in God and His wisdom, we can stay on the right path. Verse 12 talks about, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When I first read this, I was like, well, that don't sound right.
Yeah.
Well, I would think I would want it to be straightened. But I Googled the word straightened, and it means hindered or impeded. So when we walk in the wisdom in God, then our steps, they won't be, we won't run into anything that'll hamper us or impede us. When you think about things that could get in our way, Meredith, I'm not putting you on the spot here, but what could be some things in our life that could hamper us or impede us? Like what in your daily life could get in your way?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my head is just, like, the daily distractions. Like, for me, like, school's a really big one.
Yeah.
I will get so caught up in, I have to get this work done today, and I forget to get in the Word. And then it's been, like, a few days, and I've realized that I've put school as a priority instead of what should ultimately be the priority and what is, like, the source of my life. So it just doesn't make sense, but it's just like the little things like that.
Yeah, well, in the world that we live in, it's not very popular to make that your priority. Again, what we're doing here is very foolish to some people. This book is not real. It's a fairy tale. I happen to wholeheartedly disagree with that and believe every word that's written in this book. But we all make mistakes, and a lot of things. Our book here, it's got four things mentioned. It mentions pride, power, pleasure, or greed. Your calendar, like you said, you know, can hinder us, can get in our way. And then he talks about the first half there kind of mentions walking. The second half of this verse talks about running. And you think about when you start running, how much easier, and talks about thou shalt not stumble. But the faster you go, the easier it is to stumble, and especially the older you get, the easier it is to stumble. But
sometimes sometimes you still break multiple
ankles
running. Even when you're young.
But again, stand in the Word and having godly instruction will prevent us from being tripped up by life circumstances. And, you know, there's all sorts of different circumstances that come about every day. All you got to do is turn the news on, and that's not necessarily a good thing to do, is watch the news anymore. We stay in God's Word and get godly instruction, and we can not worry about being stumbled, and we can stay on path. Verse 13 says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." So it's speaking here of not holding on to this lightly, but grasp and hold firmly, so it's not able to be taken out of our hands, or we won't let it go. That we'll hold on to this with a firm grasp, and because it's our life. It just like you said just a few minutes ago, it's our priority, and it's what gives us life. The Bible offers us a wealth of godly wisdom to show us how to be wise in Him. Too often, however, Bibles only gather dust as they sit idly on tables, nightstands, and shelves. The treasure of Scripture makes a difference to us when we place it in our hearts, and that's how we hold on to godly instruction. Placing it in our heart, that's in your innermost being. I heard one time at a commencement or at a graduation, I think it was, they had an admiral in the Navy speaking, and he was a Navy SEAL, actually, and he gave this great motivational speech to these graduating kids, and he said that he always starts his day out by making his bed. As soon as he gets out of bed, that's the very first thing he does, is make his bed, and that starts him able to start building on different accomplishments through the day. So as soon as he rolls out and makes his bed up, he can say, well, I've accomplished something today. Now what's next for me to accomplish? And I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. You should make your bed. But maybe instead of being the first thing you do, making your bed, but opening your Bible and getting in God's Word and starting your day out with some godly instruction. There's a question here. It says, in what ways do you demonstrate that you have taken hold of godly instruction and make it a priority?
Well, kind of, I guess, going off of what I was saying about that I get daily distractions like school and everything sometimes becomes a priority. But, and it's kind of like what you said, I try to get in the Word and get in prayer as early in the start of my day as possible. And that, I think, it always, when I do that in the morning, and sometimes I do it at night, but just making sure that I get it in the day somewhere. But usually when I do it in the morning, for me, it just, something clicks for me, and then the rest of my day is way more productive. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, not necessarily that, like, you read the Bible and all these, you know, that you're going to be successful. That's not what I'm saying. But just that, for me, it gives you that contentment, and it gives you that you're spending time with God, and you know that's what I try to do in the morning, especially prayer in the morning is pretty hard for me, just because, you know, talking about your heart problems is not very easy first thing in the morning. But that, and I think also scripture memorization for me has been something that I've kind of let slip kind of in my young adult years. And I think that that's another way that we hold on to wisdom, mm-hmm. is by we have the power to speak truth, and that's how you guard it in your heart, is you can literally speak it. So that's how I've been trying to.
Yeah, very good. I know myself, scripture memorization, again, the older you get, the harder sometimes stuff like that is. A friend at work had told me a couple of years ago that he always, for us, because our computer systems at work, they're really big on security, so we each have to change our password monthly. And so he always uses a scripture verse. Just for instance, Proverbs 4:13 would be his password. And so, but every time he types that password in, he repeats that verse in his head.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to do that myself, and I tell you, it's been very helpful. And and even like you said, some days, and we're not all perfect.
No,
you know,
yeah.
your alarm clock goes off and you hit that snooze button way too many times, and maybe before you have to leave to go to work, you haven't had time to read your Bible. But that doesn't mean that you have to turn your radio station to what you normally listen to them. Then maybe turn it and listen to a message on the radio.
Right.
Or like I always keep my Bible in my car, or I keep my Sunday school book in my car, because when I always try to get to work at least 15 minutes early, give yourself, in case something happens on the way. And I sit down in my car and I read my Bible for 5-10 minutes. Or I read over my Sunday school lesson every morning. But I am guilty of this, making every excuse in the world and why you're too busy to be able to spend time. I'm just so thankful that Jesus didn't make an excuse on that cross, and because he had every excuse not to have to stay up there, but he chose to stay up there because he loved us. And again, you know, that's a reason why we should want to get into God's Word every day. There's 66 love letters God wrote us right here, and we're just so blessed to have this. You know, they didn't have this at this time. We're so very blessed to have God's Word so available to us and so accessible. But the next section is verses 14 through 19, and is titled The Path to Avoid.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble.
So, here we're getting this warning. That enter not into the path of the wicked. In the first few chapters that we've looked at so far, I remember one specifically where he warned his son to stay away from those bad groups of people that'll lead you into temptation and the evil ways, and specifically that group that would hide and wait so that they could murder and steal from people, because it was joyful to them. He gave them this high that they were looking for out of this evilness that they were doing. And here he's telling them, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, saying don't even step one toe into this arena, these evil ways. Avoid it, don't even be tempted by it. Just don't go near it, stay away from it, try to detour around things like that, because if you are tempted by that and you get in it just for the least bit amount of time, you could end up trapped, like these people that is mentioned here in 16 and 17, that they can't even sleep at night without laying there trying to decide how they can do evil to someone else, because it's became like where verse 17 speaks about. It's the bread of wickedness and the drink of the wine of violence. It's almost come like an indulging, they're gorging themselves on this evilness, and they can't get enough. You know, I equate it to, you know, even people who find themselves addicted to different substances or doing things like this. They're trying to fill this void in their life, and then they keep trying to pack all these different things in, and it just becomes a deeper and deeper, a bigger hole that they're trying to fill, and they're never able to fill it unless they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden they find this fulfillment. And so we need to pray for people like this. And so then we get the contrast. I know I talked about earlier that Solomon's contrasting good versus evil. Well, here we've got the evil nation contrasted with the good in verse 18. But the path of the just is is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So here he's speaking about that morning sun, that as the sun comes up, and as even as the day progresses, the sun gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and your path is getting brighter and brighter, so it's easy to see where you're going to keep you from stumbling. But then here we get another contrast, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I don't know if you've ever got up in the middle of the night and didn't cut a light on, and it's hard not to stumble in the darkness. I know my wife had bought this little step ladder that's sitting at the edge of our hallway here in our living room, and I had fell asleep in a recliner and then ended up going to, when I woke up in the middle of the night, was on my way to bed and didn't cut any lights on and forgot that that thing was there, and she stacked pictures and stuff on it. And my little toe caught the edge of that thing, and I knew that I had hurt something, but at that point, you know, you're so sleepy. I got up the next morning, my whole bottom of my foot was blue. But it's easy to stumble in darkness. And again, here he's talking about the way of wickedness is this darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. The last section we're going to look at is the choice to make. And this verse is 20 through 27. Mary, if you read this for us.
My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
So verse 20 here, again, once again, Solomon's urged his son to attend to godly instruction. He didn't want him to allow these sayings to go in one ear and out the other. There's a proverb there, one of our proverbs. But he wanted him, again, to hide this or to keep it in his heart. So Solomon's instructions need to be kept close at hand. So if his son had allowed them to get out of his sight by neglecting them, he would run the risk of losing them. To hold on to them, he needed to place them securely in his heart. And the people in Solomon's day thought the heart was the center of life itself. Therefore, wisdom placed inside a person's heart would supply him or her with a satisfying life. And we know that life springs from our heart. That's what drives our blood throughout our body, distributes it, and it carries oxygen through all our organs, and this is what gives us life. And for that reason, godly wisdom calls on believers to keep their hearts with all due diligence. Our hearts serve as a physical, emotional, and spiritual source of our lives. What we put in our hearts will make a difference in how we live. Therefore, we're wise when we discipline ourselves to watch over our hearts. We guard our hearts by being wise about what we allow to be placed in there. Because eventually, what's in your heart, as he talks about into his sayings, and here later he's going to talk about the mouth and his eyes. Eventually, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. I've heard, again, an earthly proverb that sometimes when people say things without thinking, that they forgot to replace the filter that's between their brain and their mouth. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
I mean, God's word is, there's a filter between your heart and your mouth. And that filter is wisdom. And the things that we put in our heart eventually gonna come out. So we need to guard our hearts. Again, it's our life. So if we let our hearts be filled with senseless thoughts, we may pay a price in senseless actions. But if we allow God's wisdom to be stored in our hearts, we will reap the reward of a life lived wisely. Verses 24 and 25 again talks about the mouth and the eyes. Solomon knew that what's placed in the heart would show up in what he or she said. That's why he counseled his son to be disciplined regarding his mouth, and the words that came through his lips reveal what had been placed in his heart. And then talking about the eyes, along with controlling our words, we're challenged to be wise about what we do with our eyes, what we look at. You can take it even further and talk about It made me think of, what is the word? Phylacteries. The boxes that the Israelites would place on their head and on their hand. So they would place scripture in these boxes, and they would tie them around their forehead and tie one on their arm so that the God's word would go before them when the box on their head, and also in their hand and everything that they did. And so you can think about that too, and everything that we touch in today's world of technology, with these phones right over our hands, the remotes that we use for our TVs. So we need to be careful what we allow our eyes to look on and what we allow our hands to click on. From an awareness of God's purpose in our lives, we're able to make wise choices about how we spend our days. So when we keep our eyes on Him and His purpose for us, we're able to move ahead in a way that pleases Him and brings fulfillment to us. And then the last two verses, 26 and 27, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. When we think of life as a journey, we must consider the steps that we take with our feet. The path on which the Lord has placed us requires us to manage our steps carefully. If we follow God's instruction, then we will be eager to discipline ourselves so our feet will step on solid ground. And he talks about we ponder where we place our feet because we want our steps to be established. We want to stay on solid ground. We refuse to be sidetracked by turning to the right or to the left. Neither will we allow ourselves to get off track by taking the foolish path of evil. We plan our lives in keeping with His purpose. Again, getting instruction, getting this wisdom that we get from God's Word, we can better understand God's will for us in our lives. And so getting in God's Word, and like Meredith had said earlier, praying, talking to God, praying to Him, and can keep us on that right path. There's a question here in our book, and I'm going to leave you guys with this question and let you think about this in your everyday life. And it's something that that we should all ask ourselves every day. How disciplined have you been in your journey of living out God's purpose for your life? And what changes do you need to make? And I think that's a great question for us all to ponder. Are we staying on the path? Are we fulfilling the purpose that God has laid out for us, and the instructions that His Son gave us before He went back into heaven? And that's for us to go out and tell others about Him and the good news of His Son Jesus and what He's done, and spread that gospel. Again, we look forward to worshiping you guys Sunday, and hope everybody's staying safe and healthy, and we'll see you soon.